We're live now. This is John Johnson on DS106 Radio for Life. Just sent out a tweet and we'll just start with a wee tune.
Wee tune.
Good spell. With John and Mary on a good spell. The top and honor, and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go on, give them a tweet. The DS106 good spell show.
Yeah, this is the DS106 good spell. Fast and splendidly since 2013 on the DS106 radio for life. This is one of 106 bullets from a blog post number 106 published by the DS106 shrink at 106 AM on Tumblr at the end of the headless 13 run of DS106. Our hashtag for the evening is #106spell. This is gospel radio for the DS106 generation. Mantras and cones explore the open online course DS106. Meditations and rambles, if you like, about education, openness, open education, art, fun and learning. I'm John Johnson, and with me, as usual, is Mariana Finnis. Good evening, Mariana.
Good evening, John. How are you this evening?
I'm not too bad. And everything seems to have gone properly there.
I know, and I could hear that, and I could hear our music and everything.
Yeah, all the tubes are flowing according to Nicecast, which probably means we're pointing at the wrong server, but never mind. Hopefully, so shortly, somebody on Twitter will tell us. And we are in the final section of the final season of the DS106 Good Spell. This is episode 3, DS106 and the Via Negativa, what it is not. After last week, where we were emphasising the positive, you seem to have taken a darker turn, Mariana, or a negative turn. Do you want to tell us? I'll read out the bullets. It was bullet 97. You're looking in the wrong place if you look for its structure. Look for its people and learn the norms from the community, from them. The norms are strict and not obvious. And also we're going to look at bullet 98. You're also looking in the wrong place if you look at the technology. Look at what you want to create and use any tool that will help you achieve your ends. So, we're in the wrong direction.
We are looking in the wrong place. People that keep wanting to find out what it is are looking in the wrong place. They need to look for what it is not. So what was happening when I looked at those two bullets, I thought I would put them together because they seem to be really about the you know, what is the nature of DS106. But also I thought it was interesting that one of them was kind of highlighting the community norms, the kind of how we do things around here, the how do we interact, and the other one was around the you know, is it to do with the technology, with the fact that it's on the open web, and you know, is that the thing that makes the difference? And sometimes I think people will go to that as the one thing, and both of those seemed to me to speak to this idea of defining something by what it's not, rather than by what it is. And as I was preparing and thinking about some ideas about what we might talk about around these two bullets, I realized, we were talking a little bit earlier before we came on air, that so much of how we talk about the S106 internally is really about what it isn't. And this notion of the via negativa, which is you define something by what it isn't, and we've got papers published, all sorts of things, and I guess that's, we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get going. That really is about, let's just talk about what it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that was a really interesting, as I said, this was all serendipity. This was not me planning in any way. I was just trying to make sense of what was written.
Yes, I guess, and for people who are not connected with the S106. It's an online course, a very unique online course in digital storytelling. And very often people are puzzled and confused. And when they ask, what is the S106? Well, we say, well, it's not a MOOC. And it's not your average online course. And it's not this and it's not that. and try and cut down. But that still leaves quite a lot of things that it could be. And you're saying one of the things you say is look for its people and learn the norms from the community there, from them, and that's quite a hard thing for people to do, I think, and get into, because by our sort of nature we don't want to invest time in something that we don't really know what we're getting into.
I guess that's in a way that is a sort of paradoxical thing, isn't it? That in order to find your way into it, you almost need, it's like you can't, this is what you do in order to, there isn't, the only thing to do is to jump in and try it, in a sense. And as you say, you know, often people want to have the ingredients, they want to have the recipe, they want to be able to turn the packet over and go, what's in here?
I want to know what I'm going to get out of it, I guess. Only really learn that by, well, I guess having an awareness, and I'm talking not about people who are at a university or doing it as a course, because you sign up and you know you're going to get X number of points or whatever. We're talking about this, the more open online aspect, I guess. And there's an awful lot of things online, there's a lot of learning opportunities, and why would you choose DS106 if we can't know what we're getting out of it? And the only way, I think, is to see what it's like. It sounds like an interesting party sort of thing. You're hearing some music coming through the walls, you don't really know what's going on, but you're going to have a wee shot.
I think there is an element of that. I mean, and I do remember maybe, yes, a good starting point for the conversation, and you might want to offer your view too, is like how it was for me when I made the decision that I wanted to do it. I am one of those people that likes to know what the ingredients are, and I read everything I could, and I found out about it, and, you know, and so on. And I would say that it wasn't straightforward early on to work out what, you know, so yes, you tried to say, okay, let me just find out a little bit about how this thing runs. I knew that, you know, Twitter was important. I had my kind of, you know, negative expectations and assumptions about Twitter, so that didn't help me. And then a lot of it was asking questions, finding out, reading about some of the what some people might perceive, and I have heard this said, as in jokes, and finding out, you know, what is this thread, what is this kind of story that seems to be running over a long period of time, that there are a few people who know about it, but people coming in new don't know necessarily. It's always very easy to ask, and I would say the community is very open in that sense, that, you know, I haven't got a clue who Tokitina is, tell me, and we would point them in the direction of, this is where you can read, this is what you can do to find out. But sometimes I would say, for new people, it would be hard to come into that and say, well, actually, how do we do things around here? What am I supposed to do beyond the, you know, here is module one or here is module two kind of thing. I'm thinking about the interactional element.
The good thing about it, I suppose, is it's open. You can join in a wee bit at a time. And certainly I dipped my toe in once or twice to various things before I sort of took on one from the start. And I think I've done two or three, maybe four, good, reasonable stabs at doing chunks of a course. But the first one, I probably joined in for a wee while and then dropped out again. And that's quite, for somebody like myself anyway, that's quite a nice way to join in a course. You dip your toe in, you can take the bits that you're interested in. So, you know, if you're interested in sort of the more, could we say, cultural aspects of storytelling and the shape of stories and things like that. There's weeks on there, but if you're more interested in the technology, or if you're more interested in illustration, you can jump into those bits.
Mm. I suppose what you're describing is another way in, is a way in when you're not understanding how things work, is to come in via what you're interested in and the specific content area that you're interested in, and then work with that, and through that then start to get to know the people that are working with it in that moment or at that time. Like, that makes sense, because then that makes it more, that's another way.
So one of the things that you point to in our show notes, which nobody else can see, obviously, is the international treaty as declared by all humanity.
We have the rules. I mean, you see, you only need to ask. If anybody wants to know the rules, we have the rules.
Yeah, so I'm guessing we should probably pop those out on a wee tweet for any soul who wants to read those.
Who wants to know the rules?
Yeah. And probably, if you were coming to this fresh and you looked at this, you would just go away again.
Do you want to give a flavour of what's written in the rules?
So the rules are a Google Doc that has been edited by various people. And I'm presuming it must have started way before I get interested or found out about... So there's a socialist workers section. Field reports are required by all peoples the earth as well, preferably of strikeout by audio, including barking dogs. A firmer definition of field report will precede the use of the words field report in all communal situations. It says students' work should never be graded except by a screaming rigid application of rigorous rubrics, or when under the influence of drugs, sex, aforementioned music and pyjamas. We have protocols to maintain, damn it. And we all know. And there's various sweary words sections and rule number 7. It's perfectly acceptable for mums in Florida not to grasp concepts, especially if they're nice and cook cookies for the troops or students, and even more especially if they cook macaroons. I'm guessing that's pointing to a cooking blog post by Alan Levine at some point, maybe. That's the only thing I can guess there, you know.
I had assumed it had to do with something with, you know, somebody's mom who made, you know, used to make cookies. Did you read, right? You should always talk about the S106. Rule 2, you should always talk about the S106. Corollary to rule 2, why aren't you talking about the S106 right now, slacker?
Well... So we've ticked off the first two rules quite well in the past 50 shows or something like that, Mariana.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. There is a whole lot. I'm just reading. I'm trying to find bits that could be read out in public.
Whilst you're reading, that raises a really interesting issue, I think, thinking about the idea of people coming in new. Because when I came across this, I already knew most of the people who had a part in writing about it. But you do wonder, don't you? Somebody who is coming in new, depending on whether or not they understand some of the ethos, some of the humor, some of the kind of ongoing piss take, we would say here, that happens within the S106. If they don't, then there is, I think, the room for it to be quite in your face, one could say, couldn't it? So, you know, some of the rules are fine, which would be about, you know, like I was just looking at rule 21. DS-106 never really starts or ends. It just happens alongside everything that happens forever.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we got Comic Sans making an appearance here. So, friends, don't let friends use Comic Sans unless they're trying to be folksy, because nothing is folksier than Comic Sans.
Yeah. So we can do those ones. And that, interestingly enough, I've been dipping into another DS-106 style course in Edinburgh University, 23 Things, which you mentioned a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things they're talking about there is, and I'm saying it's DS-106 style mainly because it has sort of weekly challenges and aggregates everything together using, I'm guessing, Feed WordPress in a sort of DS-106 style. It's probably not got the anarchic sort of spirit of DS-106, but the second week we're talking about digital footprints, and as a sort of primary school teacher, I kind of feel that there's certain things I wouldn't do online, like I wouldn't swear online. You know, I wouldn't do something because 8, 9, 10-year-old kids now are Google you, try and follow you on Twitter or Instagram or all these places. And, you know, there is a crossover between the professional and the fun, I guess, and there is, depending on which sector of education you're working in. You know, I mean, if I was working in tertiary education, I probably wouldn't mind that my students knew I swore. but it's not something I'm going to do online because of the job I've got, and because children and parents might Google me, you know.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, Rochelle is saying maybe people who come in new into it, they need somebody else, you know, somebody to support them and kind of orient them. And in a way, I think we kind of do that informally, certainly with the open participants. But there is also it's not just about there being people who offer support and try and guide you so that you could say, well, you know, this is in humor, this is not this, this is not that. Mm. But actually, in what you're describing is they might just be wanting to find out about you and what you did in DS-106 and how you did it and so on. So that is interesting, isn't it? The kind of the digital footprint that the course has, in a way, that can be found by anybody.
Yeah, and then one of the good things about working online and in the open is that idea that you can, you know, show off the best of what you're doing and all the rest of it, and the course can show off the best of what it's doing be accessible that way if you've just got the time to dig into it. Yeah. So that was the rules. Which are confusing and possibly upsetting and all the rest of it. And I'm just moving kind of down our notes here. And the other thing is that this via negative, I'm going to say it wrong, via negativa. I think you need a sort of slightly less Presbyterian accent to do that one, via negativa. Yeah. You know, it's like,
well, you see, I have the part of it for me is that I do have a bit of an attachment to this term. So I've been familiar with it for a long time, and for a long time I didn't know what it meant. But I always liked the sound of it when I was young. You know, I'm very sad. So once, you know, I found out about it and I read a bit more, and once you take it out of the religious context, which is, you know, you define God by what it is not. Actually, I do think that it is a really interesting way to introduce or to work with people when I'm teaching them about dialogue and about creativity and about how to engage in ways that are exploratory. because it moves you away from saying, here is the box, this is what it is. Mm. And in a sense, I thought, you know, now that as we talk about it, I think it is, it's not necessarily negative in the sense of not good. It's more, I would say that it is kind of much more about, by not defining something in a rigid way, it opens up possibilities, which I would say is quite in the nature of what DS-106 is, if that's not too complicated, that train of thought.
Yeah, it's a way of sort of circling a topic and maybe letting yourself see it without getting hooked in to definitions and things that would tie you down. I guess that's it.
So that's, you know, so that you can't, so can you say, so it's, so for example, when we get stuck, let's, you know, if we move on to the idea of the technology and, you know, that's the open web defined DS-106, does that mean, for example, that you couldn't run DS-106, you know, on the LMS? I don't know. You know, but I do think that that's sort of experimental, that's kind of actually let's not, you know, nobody puts DS-106 in a box kind of idea, does allow for many things to be DS-106.
So I think that's, there's something in this, and what we get from DS-106 is not necessarily just about how to tell stories. It's not just about digital storytelling. It's more, you're learning more about internet or even just culture, how people communicate, how they talk, how they do things. But, you know, because it's distributed, because it's wide open, it's almost like the internet, it just... Yeah, it's not a platform. It's not tied down. You could do it with tin cans and string.
Yes.
You know, if you tied the right knots and got the tin cans in line, it doesn't need to be. You know, the nature of something like RSS, which is central to DS-106, is the fact that it's open, and it does a job in an open way. That's it. You know, you could do it by, you know, meeting, or having people come to the forum or something like that, and a nice set of steps leading onto a stage, and people could stand up and, you know, shout and talk and break into groups and do things.
So your one thing is that it. So if you were to say what is the one thing that defines it, you would say that it is open. That would be your one thing if you were
open and. Yeah, and I don't mean necessarily even would it need to be, and this is, you know, what it's not, open. I mean, at its best, we've got this idea of open and open to everybody and all the rest of it, but you could do one in a space, say, that was not open in the way we're talking about, because, for instance, the learners could be people who would have trouble working openly. For various reasons, maybe for reasons that, you know, you could DS-106 in a prison, for instance, and, you know, where they can't get access to the World Wide Web. It's the fact that the course itself is created to a large extent by the participants.
So you could have a situation. So in the prison example, you could have a situation where your community would be made of the people in the prison. It would be close to the outside, but it'd still be open within, because people would be sharing and making things together. Yeah, I could see that.
Or the learners could be in a position where it wouldn't be safe for them to be online, for, you know, personal reasons or whatever. But it's the openness of maybe the course, the openness of the people who are leading the course. And this must be just so difficult, I think, to allow it to go into different places.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, because that by definition, then you don't know where it's going to go. And, yeah. And I've heard Jim and Alan and other people talk quite a lot about how that, in a way, that is the nature of it, that actually any one run, when particularly when you're mixing open participants and people at the universities, yeah. You just don't know where it might go.
I mean, I certainly know from teaching young kids that very often, if they have an idea for doing something, if you follow that idea, it'll lead to good things. But it also, there's that huge pressure not to do that because you've got this idea in your head of how things are going and where they're going. And, you know, you want to teach them about Z, but it turns out the structure you've given them leads them to want to learn about W. And they head off to W. And what do? You round them up and herd them back towards... towards Z, or do you let them run on to W and see what you can get out of that and cover Z later on in a different way? I think it's when the people get together inside DS106 maybe that happens. Maybe the people who really need to hold on to not knowing what DS106 is the people who are leading the course.
Well, I have heard Martha, I've heard other people saying that in a sense, because that is all part of the idea of kind of modeling and joining in, isn't it? That you don't fix it. And isn't there this story about how, if people are listening, they might correct us on Twitter. I haven't been following the Twitter as much. Isn't this idea about how it started that Jim had the idea that it would be like three assignments or something? Mm. And he'd written, whatever the number was, a small number of assignments, and that he'd written them out and he said this was going to be the course. And then somebody... Tom Woodward, this said, well, what about, you know, we do it differently? And then they got involved talking about this idea of creating the assignment bank. And I think that Jim's original thing was that it would be populated by the teachers, and how then it evolved in what it did, where actually... you just don't know what you might find in the assignment bank. Not only that, but, you know, each person doing it can pick different assignments so long as they have the right number of stars, as it were, if you were doing it for a qualification. Mm. So I guess that's an example, isn't it, of how you really don't know where it might go.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the things that we've talked often about in previous episodes about this idea of, you know, what is the one thing? And as we were talking about that, I was reminded of something that Todd Conway said a while ago when we were talking about this. And let me just read the quote because I think it's beautiful. DS106 is successful because the people involved are caring and supportive. There is no better pedagogy than that. Jim may be outgoing and gregarious in personality, but that is not what he did to make it work. He and the others supported and cared for the people. The end.
I
think that's lovely.
I think in education we keep coming back to that at all stages, that, you know, no matter the pedagogy or the curriculum or anything else, what seems to matter is somebody having a bit of care for the other people, the people they're working with or the people in the course.
Well, it's what Mike Welsh talks about, teaching a soul making.
Mm.
He tells the story about what he started to do was to have lunch with his students, and that, you know, you might take from that the thing to do was to go and socialize and have lunch, but actually that the point wasn't that. The point was to take time to get to know them from the perspective of actually what is important to you, what is your life like, and, you know, you'd use lunch or anything, mm-hmm. but the important thing was about taking time to see them Yeah. And I always think that that's a wonderful thing. One of his latest videos is called the Sleeper, and it's just and I'm not going to remember the detail. We might put it up on the show notes, but it tells the story of one particular student. He started to do a few animations.
Yeah.
That kept falling asleep in class.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are to assume that, you know, what you see is what you get, here is a student actually who isn't performing. And the story that evolves is actually that he was, you know, he was an amazing person who was doing all sorts of things. And if he hadn't taken the time to find out, he would have just failed him and ignored him.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, those stories are always around us if we take the time to look. And I would say DS-106 is no different than that.
Yeah, I'm not going to dig too deep into that because you'd end up feeling guilty for the rest of your life.
Mommy, what do you mean?
But as a teacher, you can never do that for every day, and you always miss things, you know, and bits and pieces like that. I mean, I think that's a hard thing to do.
Well, I don't think he's saying. I just found it. I'll put the link. I'll put the link on the Twitter for people as we're talking about it. I don't think he's saying we have to be perfect at it.
No, thank goodness.
I think he's saying, you know, that we must value it and understand its importance if we want to be good at teaching.
Mm.
And that means, you know, within that, we do the best we can given the constraints, I think, you know, because, of course, and depending on the numbers, right?
Mm.
Depending on the number of students you have. I mean, it's like, goodness, can you, you know, you can't be perfect, can you? It's not. You will always miss things, inevitably so.
And I wonder, I mean, just because of the time, if we could push on to a post that what have I done? I've just lost it. Well done, John. Tells you clicking on things. A post you wrote back in 2013. Which is titled "No, You Should Not Do DS-106." And one of the passages is, I've been trying to find a cogent critique of the University of Mary Washington's digital storytelling course, DS-106, and I've not managed to find anything that addresses my need to evaluate this course for my Master's in Online and Distance Education. I'm doing it at OU. So we're talking negative, and you've not managed to evaluate the course.
You see, I think that's a lovely example. I haven't read that for like ages because that was my very first thing, wasn't it? And I was looking for just that, the same thing that most people are looking, right? Where is the evaluation? What is it going to do? How is it going to be successful? You know, what do I have to do in order to be good at it? Because, you know, I always want to be the best in class, me. but you can't find it. And I actually, as you read that, I also remembered, I think Alan Levine wrote a blog post recently where he talked about, it was not about DS-106 specifically, but he was using DS-106 as an example and saying how amazing it was that in spite of the amount of blog posts and data that is available on DS-106 in the open web, surprisingly little has been done in terms of the kind of formal research. I think he quoted the paper that I wrote with him and Rochelle around it, and there are a couple of others, but his point was actually, it's interesting, there's not a lot of formalizing that we've done with it. And I think he's right. But that's funny, isn't it, that thing.
And is that a good or a bad thing?
Well, there's exactly.
Not much formalizing, and it, you know, I don't know. it's interesting. And he says the only paper, I mean, it's the one that you and Rochelle, and I think Rochelle's put that on Twitter just a minute or two or six ago,
There is the one that he wrote, which is also a Via Negativa thing, which he wrote it for the Educause Review, DS-106, not a course, not like any MOOC. So again, you know, it's, and often we make jokes about, you know, it's not massive, it's not a course, it's not a this, it's not a that. It's interesting. So actually, this is today this particular episode, it's been interesting because it's made me reflect on some of the sort of ideas of the open pedagogy of DS-106 in a different way. I had not realized this kind of not this as a theme that actually we seem to have over a period of time across different people, and in the many different ways in which we try to define what it is. That's interesting.
Yeah. and maybe at some point somebody needs to say what it is or find some way of extracting that.
Do we?
I think... It might be in danger of getting lost. I mean, as the sort of online, I mean, since DS-106 has been running, the sort of online course world has expanded. They did the big MOOC thing, which seemed to evolve into slightly less open, but still massive. Seemed to, you know, and various other things have come on, and again, this to me parallels the way that our online communication is sucked into Facebook, Twitter, big corporation stuff, and that there's always a bubble up and a kickback, but it never gets right out to be, you know, to own your own and to be open and all the rest of it. It feels, I mean, it very much, I guess Jim Boom is gone for that big style because he does, you know, the reclaim hosting thing based around domain of one's own, and it's like an education of one's own. Is maybe we should be what DS-106 does.
We'll talk about this more, and we can do a preview for our very, very last show on the 30th of October. We've got a special guest, because Jim Groom is agreed to come and join us. So, and he talks about, we'll talk about it then. I think he says that DS-106 is just like the open web, except with less trolls. Which I think is lovely, very funny thing. But I, you know, there is something to be done in terms of you know, research around it. Which, you know, I'm thinking of it, but you know, life is busy.
just on that trolls thing, and one of the things you get on these big massive platforms like Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it is a lot of use and negativity rather than the via negativa. You get a lot of negativity, you get, you know, Gamergate, you get the current American politics and, you know, the horrible stuff that went around, you know, on both sides of any political argument you look at over the last wee while. And you don't get that so much in a open course that's small and caring, I guess.
I guess that there is that, isn't there? And I guess that's what he means. I was just scrolling to that same post of mine, that early 2013 post, and it's interesting because I'm talking here about the kind of community element and how it's you know, how it's formed, and as I read it, I go, my goodness, how does anybody ever get in here? Look at this. So it says, as storytelling is the focus of VS106. It is clear that community members understand the importance of a shared oral tradition, and they use the technology in order to foster it. Should you choose to do VS106, you will soon come across a tapestry of stories that are continually being added to by members, from talking dolls that embody care and empathy to tough military men who bully you into making art, damn it. Then there are the dead bodies, the headless photos, the dancing professors, and not forgetting the reinvocation of missing people via animated GIF creation. I think I'm thinking of Scott Lowe here when he disappeared. Yes, it takes a particular kind of learner to engage with the mythology of DS106 and understand that the learning is in the engagement. That's interesting. That's an interesting observation. There is no linear guide for new members. The stories weave in the interactions of those who get it. By definition, then, there must be those who try to join in but never get it, quotes, and leave without a trace. Of course, that's always been my concern from the beginning. You know, it's like, yes, in the context of once we're in here, there is a kind of caring, empathetic, helpful, supportive. But I do think that the sort of coming into it is not so easy, and there must be people that look at all this, John, there must be, that look at all this and they go, for goodness sake, what the hell is this?
So, yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily a disaster, though.
Maybe not.
You know, it's like they may, whatever they want to learn, just go somewhere else and learn it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, would you recommend DS106 to somebody? I would, but I would put in the caveats that you'll need to play. You know, and you'll need to mess about, and you'll need to just, let it go and run with it a wee bit and see what happens. And it would be a risk. And it's only a risk of some time. It's not a risk of, you know, breaking your leg or, you know, drowning or anything like that, you know. It may be a risk that, your life will change forever and you'll spend far too much time making animated GIFs, but
indeed,
I think people should know. Yeah, you're risking some time, and I think that title of your post, "No, you should not do DS106," is probably quite a good one. For a start, it'll make people do it because they go, "Why shouldn't I?" But you know, I think that. And there's another bit in your post here. It says, as an outsider coming in, I see it succeeds in getting a level of participation and commitment many can only dream about. So that maybe speaks to the fact that, you know, some people drop off and you only see the ones that hang in.
Actually, yes, that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, that sort of almost like... The selection, in one way, some people may not like what I'm about to say, but in one way, what you could argue that the selection criteria are quite tough and strict. In that, you know, people sometimes, if you compare it to the sort of traditional, maybe this is what, when say Alan, writes an article that says it's not a course, it's not like any other MOOC, maybe that's partly the rationale, that it is different in that sense, because the vehicles with which we do the learning are not traditional. I guess that's maybe the thing that's different.
And, well... What's interesting there is, you know, because I'm thinking when I started DS106, I had a blog, I was used to technology, I could do a podcast, I had a Twitter account, I had all the accounts, so the first week was pretty easy, set up all this stuff, tick, done it, you know, but that wasn't necessarily the challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge for me maybe was doing things that I don't feel so confident about, you know, design assignments. You know, I'm happy enough doing audio, but, you know, design, getting things to look nice with shapes, you know, that, and sometimes you're working with people who are really great at that because they've done it to death, you know, they've done it before or whatever. So that's another nice thing, I think, is that everybody should have an opportunity to be in the place where they're not the best, they're not confident. And that's probably the point where you actually get the most out of DS-106.
Yes, and it's interesting because that, of course, is almost the intention. So that's almost what happens even before you start to explore if this is something you want to do. It is the intention that you have and your own willingness to come in and experiment with things and put stuff out there that you may not know how to do, hence by definition may not be great.
Yeah.
At the start. And so that's the whole thing around vulnerability and in learning and how we handle that. And I think we handle that very well in DS-106, possibly helped by the fact that there are always artifacts that we can communicate with, which we've talked about before many times. But that's interesting because I think that is very true, that the notion of the experimentation and the intention to just jump in and try. Because if you don't have that, then you'll never get going. I think that's a very fair thing to say. Yeah. You know, what can you do? You could do some lurking, which I guess people do. Use the open syllabus, read, follow up, and do things, and you'll get something. You'd get the content, wouldn't you? Mm. And you might experiment with things in the comfort of your own computer. Not necessarily sharing, that might be a way. And there may be many people who do that we don't know about. Again, we wouldn't know because they are not the ones that are doing the socializing. So that's interesting to think about that. May well be. Oh, and in fact, Ronald is talking here about, and lurking is allowed to, I don't know, are there lurkers that kind of follow through the conversation, possibly. But I think it's also likely that there are people that just use the open syllabus in particular, I guess, as a way of, you know, learning particular things that they might want to learn in terms of content.
So, yeah, well, just on that lurking, one of the things that I find interesting is that very often I've been in places or spaces online or physical conferences where people have been talking about DS-106 and using it as a model, who, as far as I know, have never actually taken part firsthand. They've just watched it go by, I guess, but they still think it's important enough. You know, so lurkers may get the same sort of thing, but actually, I mean, I can think of one or two cases where people are doing things that's been inspired by DS-106 who have never done DS-106. They've just seen it, they've just heard about one or two aspects of it, and they've taken that aspect and used it to do something that is really interesting.
And of course, as also, you know, we've spoken about before, what it means for different people is different. You know, some of us who have actually gone through a full run of the course in a particular moment in time, have one experience. There are those people that really only connect with DS-106 via the daily create, because actually they've never done anything else. And that's what it means for them. And there is a kind of, you know, a level of interaction and things that go on in relation to the daily create. There is, you know, the little DS-106 radio, one would call it community, you know, same. There's, you know, people who have that as a kind of shared experience. Some of them may never have done a full run of the course, as it were. And then there are, like, at the university end, the ones that are doing it for the credits, as it were, they might just do the run of it do what is required of them, and then you never hear them from them again. All of that are sort of valid experiences and valid pathways through, I guess. Which is what makes it difficult to pin down, I suppose. Listen, we've almost gone on for an hour today. I mean, this final season is going to be full of value, I think.
Yeah. What one thing that really impresses me tonight is that we have managed not we've managed not to describe DS-106. So I think since we're talking about DS-106 and the Via Negativa.
There you go. We've not defined it.
We've circled around it.
Which is a lovely example, isn't it, about how we show don't tell. So we showed people how to not define it.
Yeah. We've grasped bits, I suppose, they've bitten into empty air a few times. And we haven't been too... We've been more negativa than negative as well, I think. Which is nice. So will we wrap this up? And
we're going to play something lovely.
We'll have a wee look there. Well, when you say lined up, you mean I'm going to ramble for slightly while I search through iTunes. I've just mentioned that next week, the episode 4 is the Island of Lost Tools. I'm loving the titles, actually. I think that's really nice. I'm just kind of looking through. Well, you know what? I'm going to play out one of my own, actually. And the reason I'm going to do it is because we talked about serendipity tonight, and it's always good to get a bit of serendipity going. And a wee blog post that I wrote to do with this other course I was talking about. Alan dropped me a wee comment, and we're talking about Google and what comes up and autocompletes, and I'm fairly addicted to autocompletes, and the autocomplete Alan found was, when he Googled my name, he got ballistic radio, which for 106 bullets I think is pretty good. So here we go. There they come. Six bullets. Mantras and poems for the DS-106 good spell. Maybe she just need to say DS-106 radio for life.
For life.
Hopefully.
Bye, everybody.
You'll gather an audience next week. Cheers, folks.